So here's the intro I thought of while I was walking
here. Oh my god, just because I started recording, you start sounding like unnatural.
No, so here's...
You're like that episode of, you know, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, like Pathetic Girl 16 or whatever? Yeah, Pathetic Girl 16 and fucking... It's Dear Diary, the casting agent said I was great.
Yeah. No, so the idea was
I have a rash. Where a sexually active person should have a rash.
The idea was like, you go, hey Fred, what happened? You have what's up with your eye? And I go, oh dude, I've been virtual fighting online. And you're like, wait, what? And I'm like, yeah, I've been internet fighting. And then you know. We do something about, oh, well, wait, no, that, wait, did you paint that on? I'm fucking fighting online all goddamn day.
Okay. You should probably end this intro part right before you said fighting online all goddamn day. Before, it was good till then. Then you sounded crotchety.
I'm Fred Earhart.
And I'm John Anderson.
And you're listening to Fantastic Neighborhood, episode 68.
The
68th.
Say ocho.
Siete ocho? No, wait.
Ocho cinco.
Ocho cinco. Cinco ocho.
Chad Johnson.
Oh, God.
This is a disaster.
Off the rails.
This is a disaster. I hate this.
I hate it, too.
You know what, Fred? I quit.
Do you really?
Yeah. I'm after that horrible intro, I don't think there's any way I can go on doing this show.
I'm gonna miss you.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll fill out the paperwork later, and we can let's get through this episode.
Okay.
So we've got a fun one for you guys today. We're gonna
wait,
roll.
Are we actually gonna talk about me actually taking a break from the show? Or?
I don't know. I thought maybe you'd want to save that for a night. Go ahead, John.
Okay. So I'm leaving for an unspecified amount of time.
Indefinite amount of time.
Yeah. I don't know.
We're all very sad about it.
I don't know if I'm still in the logo. I don't know if I get to stay in the logo. But yeah, I got a job in the industry that
he's going to be an industry insider.
Yeah, that we so often talk about. So just goes to show, kids, if you start a video game podcast that 80 people listen to on a weekly basis, you too can get a job at a huge company.
Did you use the podcast?
No, God, no.
God,
I didn't.
Thank God,
dude. I'm hoping they don't find it. That's why I quit, just in case they find it, I could fucking lose the job. It's like, it says here you want to fuck the three.
you called us vile children rapists at some point. What was that about, John?
Yeah. So obviously, I'm going to work at EA. Anyway. Half the people listening to this are already friends with me on Facebook, so you'll probably see more about it. But next week will be my last traditional episode for a while, and then we might have a special after that.
And then you may periodically pop in and out.
You know, I was thinking, like, I might want to contribute to Game Club still, if that's...
Like a correspondent?
I think I could still pretty easily get away with doing Game Club and not being any conflict of interest.
Yeah,
especially
that'd be fun.
If we don't... play things that are necessarily related to
the thing
I'll be working
all indie all the time.
The thing I'll be working on or around. All indie, all classic PC. You know, I think I've said too much.
Okay.
I got my dream job.
We're gonna leave it. You got one of your dream jobs.
Yeah.
I think there's a dreamier job that you could have gotten, but
rubber of oil on breasts. That was taken.
Breast oil rubberer.
Breast oiler. That surprisingly enough, doesn't pay enough to support my family.
Your family of you. It doesn't pay enough.
That's
a side gig.
Yeah. What are some other... Let's spitball this. What are some other potential dream jobs for me?
So based on your
Star Wars continuity checker, duh. No, just kidding. Fast and Furious continuity checker, dude.
That's a tough one.
I fucking started reading the Fast and Furious wiki.
I'm so glad that wiki was the word that came after that and not novels.
Oh, I would read that.
Are there novels?
No, unfortunately, not yet. But the the contributors, like, God bless them. You know, they're trying real hard. But holy shit, man! The like, I edit your writing, and it is better than the people that write for Fast and Furious.
Are they like you know how when Wikipedia, the editors are like super militant about the rules
no,
that? They're just hard and like, fast, right? They're fast and furious with their editing.
It's like people don't know to put a space after periods, capitalize the first letter of a sentence, proper noun.
Dude, or even worse, they double space things. Oh, I hate that.
Hey, it's in college anymore, man. You don't need to get the extra space out of there. By the way, Fred, if you still want me to do light copy editing on everything you put on the site, I will still do that.
Listen, I've gotten better. I think you know that.
A little bit. Here's the thing. As I totally acknowledge you are a very smart person and you have good ideas, but you're even capable of communicating them pretty well. I just think you gloss over some of the rules of the English language. I don't know. That's even meaner than I meant.
No, you're probably entirely accurate.
Proper nouns, capitalizing weird words, like,
you know, I think that's
like at.
it's less my ignorance. Like, I know to do these things properly. It's my muscle memory when I'm typing.
Yeah.
And my proofreading. That's really all it is.
Just read things twice, maybe send to me.
Oh, I certainly
God, you could take this part out, too, if I'm being too mean to you.
No, this is fine. I need this. This builds me up in character.
Like,
and it's going to make me regret you leaving less when we find a replacement.
Yeah, I feel like I'm being like a mega dick.
So anyway, we have a...
Are you doing a show rundown?
Let's do a show rundown. So we're going to roll in the Consumption Junction in
no,
a moment.
We're not.
We've got some hype.
Bullshit.
We have an obituary, sadly, this year or this week, and it's not yours.
Shit. Oh man, are you gonna do one?
I am gonna do one. There is a game club this week. We played the second third of Escape from Butcher Bay.
Some of us did.
And we've got an outro, as you all are usually familiar with.
I didn't even say that I'm moving away. Like, I'm not gonna live in New York anymore.
No, you're not.
I'm gonna live in Seattle, Washington.
You're telecommunicate. Are you living in Seattle proper, or are you trying to get, like, one of the suburbs?
No, no,
like,
I'm looking exclusively in the city. Like, I can't. I can't live in the suburbs. But by comparison, like, it is much more residential of a city. Like,
a little more spread out.
Yeah, like Queens, except not with the perpetual 1972 feeling.
I like that 1972 feeling. Makes me feel homey.
Yeah. But, yeah, man, it's less dense. Like... People aren't, like, all over on top of each other.
Well, I mean, there's still those really dense parts, but...
No. There really isn't. Like, it's nothing like... Dude, the whole city is, like, 700,000 people.
It's on an upswing, though, right?
Yeah.
More people are moving in.
It's just the rental market. Ugh. Are we in Consumption Junction now?
Let's roll in the Consumption.
Wait your turn and don't get out of line. Everything you fear, paint it black in the back of your mind. You just go on breathing,
here now.
Hopefully there's a sound that plays. That reminds me, I've been forgetting to put a cool game sound before. No, I have.
No, you put VIN.
Oh, yeah.
Putting a sound. That's all that matters.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
So, John, first and foremost, there's one thing that we both did, and we need to talk about it.
Fast and Furious 6 on iPhone.
That's not the thing we did.
Fast 6 on iPhone.
I didn't play that. I don't have an iPhone.
It's probably on Android.
Okay, you know what? Let's fucking talk about that. Is that a driving game where you got to move the...
No. Okay, so Fast 5 on iOS was... And so that game was gorgeous, but fucking impossible to play. Like, ugh. Real bletch.
Okay. But this is a Metroidvania platformer.
God, I wish.
Dude, I'm gonna... I can just imagine Vin Diesel's quest, I have to find Nos. You know, like...
I live. I live my life one fucking rolly bomb. What the fuck? What is it called when you drop a bomb in Metroid?
I think it's called dropping a bomb.
Yeah, but you have to be rolled up for it.
So a ball.
I live my life one lava suit at a time.
Yeah, lava suit. Let's go with lava suit.
Yeah. So this game is no steering. You control shifting and like when to trigger the NOS and also like when to initiate the slide. So it's like it's a good tapping on the fucking screen game. And you you level up your cars and it's free to play. So there's microtransactions. The microtransactions are really horrible. Like it is really hard to earn the things by just playing. I have a fucking 1972 Ford Torino. It's horrible.
So it's very realistic, the game, then.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe I'll spend like $5 on it. But you don't get a ton for $5.
No, DLC is, or not DLC, microtransaction items are like super expensive lately. In almost every game I play that has that feature.
They figured out you can get away with it. But like, as far, the the progression is less horrible than Injustice for iPhone.
Sure.
That was fucking... Like, you fight the same fight, like, 5 times in a fucking row.
Right. You know, friend of the show, Chris Giselle, was telling me on the topic of microtrans.
Giselle!
He's playing the remake of... or not the remake, but Neverwinter Nights, the new MMO. He's, like, fully...
Isn't it just called Neverwinter?
I think it might be Neverwinter then, yeah. He's full-on fucking in to an MMO. Definitely. And he was telling me it's got, like, microtrans all over the place.
I think I'm going to play the Marvel...
He said it's not good.
I've heard otherwise.
He was big into it, and then he dropped out, and I think that's because he bought the Founders Pack for like 60 fucking American dollars or something like that.
The full Founders Pack is 200.
He bought like a con exclusive.
So I think what I'm going to do, I think we'd get in, buy one character, spend like no more than $20. And I've heard that like with that spent, and you can do about 20 hours in it, and it's a worthwhile experience.
I've had so much of my fill of true-to-form MMOs that I'm trying to steer away from them
right
now.
It's not, though. It's more Diablo-y.
It's more Diablo, but it's still, like, the MMO-style, you know, questing,
I'm gonna play as Daredevil.
Finding...
I'm going to play as Daredevil, bitch.
I bet you Daredevil's probably cheap, too.
No, Daredevil's free.
Oh, is it? All right, there you go.
Man, I would... Fucking Squirrel Girl. Oh, man. I would pay $10 for Squirrel
Girl. Just put together the entirety of the Great Lakes Avengers?
Oh, dude. I love Marvel, I think, in comparison with DC. Like, it is... Marvel is so much better.
They both go in and out to me.
Superman is the worst fucking character.
You know, you say that, but now that I've seen the trailers for that Zack Snyder movie over
now
and over
that
and
I've
over
seen,
again...
Now that I've seen stills of that stupid suit, it is stupid. It looks almost as bad as Nick Cage.
Just in general?
No, the Nick Cage...
the Nick Cage Superman, yeah.
Yeah.
Is it weird that I keep seeing Superman stuff on products that should not be associated with Superman because of this movie? I saw an advertisement for Twizzlers that had a Superman branding on it.
You're in advertising. You're not good at this. Oh, I find this advertising offensive. Fuck you. Come on.
Not offensive. It just doesn't make a lot of tactile sense to me.
I work at the place that invented the banner ad. Like, I can't... Yeah. I'm not in the place to criticize anything.
That's true.
I mean, the current place I'm at, you know.
Dude, also true.
You want to talk about fucking awesome ways to leave a job? Give 2 weeks notice and take off 4 of those days. Also, I'm not coming in the last day.
On your last day, just start throwing water bombs at people.
Dude, I have this bag of fucking glitter on my desk.
You're going to rip Taylor the office?
Dude, when I fucking walk out of there, I'm going to fucking blare Kesha from my computer and just fucking throw glitter in the
air. So it's like any other day at the office.
Yeah.
Why do you have a big bag of glitter at your desk?
Dude, we had this fucking bullshit arts and crafts thing like during mandatory fun time.
Are you guys playing making noodle macaroni pictures?
No, we had to make these fucking stupid name tags. You know what? I'm going to gift you my name tag. You should see it. It's got a picture of Kesha on it. It's got some, I forget what, Lisa Frank stickers on it.
Oh, jeez.
Yo, dude, I am full on non-repentant about what my taste is nowadays. Like...
I don't think you can have your taste and be repentant. Like, it's all or nothing.
Dude, I'm shameless. People are like fucking, people are like, talking about guilty pleasures. I'm like, I have no, there's no such thing. There's just pleasure, baby. It's, I'm like a fucking Camel cigarette, homie. Like,
yeah, I've stopped pretending like they're things that embarrass me because everyone just knows about them anyway and I'm completely open about it.
Like, you know, I'm like talking about like what my fucking pop anthem for the summer is going to be. And one of my friends who like, I don't know, we have similar tastes in punk rock, but like everything else, he likes fucking, I don't know, like pretentious indie bands and shit.
Sure.
You know, and he's like, who are you? And I'm like, you know, I'm fucking 30 years old. I don't need to apologize. I like fucking fat. I was Fast and Furious. I like Kesha. I was like Kid Dynamite and Lifetime. And
I was on the fence about Kesha until she drank her own piss. And then I went, you know what? That is the kind of punk rock that I needed in my life.
Yeah.
I won't watch the show because I hate that kind of television. But
yeah, I think shitty pop is the new punk rock.
It might actually be. If it could just get away from like the corporate ties.
I mean, I'm really interested.
If some band came out, if someone came out who was like a indie, like, you know, we're putting out our own music. This is what we want to make. Well, no label. And then they were putting out like pop.
Well, I think Macklemore is a step in that direction.
Might be, yeah.
Macklemore and Ryan Lewis, they're independent. They have a contract with one of the labels for distribution, but it's like on their terms, right? And say what you want about Macklemore and that sort of rap music. Like, I find him somewhat appealing, and I'm moving to Seattle, so I have to love him now. He introduces the Seattle Mariners. Like, when you go to a Seattle Mariners
game, really?
And now it's like it's Macklemore saying, and now you're 2013 Seattle Mariners. I'm like, ah, hey, Macklemore. Like, that Ceiling Can't Hold Us song is the Mariners song.
I think Kickstarter might be the catalyst for all that. Because people are actually going to be able to self-publish and actually get distribution.
Well, I think people are realizing that you can get rich without the labels.
Yeah. I mean, there's only two things that prevent anyone from making music and distributing it now with the internet and iTunes and all that, right? One... Our studio costs.
Please tell me two is talent.
Talent. Two is talent. And but that's not even as important as studio costs. Because if you could pay for the studio and put something out, you could still get people to listen to it, even if it's terrible.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, I'm interested to see, like, I mean, that mass audience sort of is, they're consuming stuff on the internet at this point. You know, they're Pandoring and Spotifying and all that stuff. Those verbs. Like, the other day, like, I don't know, I was fucking flipping through, and, like, Z100, which is, for the non-New York initiated, is, like, the pop radio station of New York City.
It's like, the one.
There are several, but it is the bigger one.
I think it's the biggest. It's Clear Channel. It's the name.
iHeartRadio? No, I don't. I really... Gross. Radio... You mean NPR? Oh my god. Oh my god. There was a request. Somebody called into the radio station to request something.
Sure.
In this day and age, that is fucking batshit crazy.
You know those are all fake, right?
Now they are.
They are all fake.
They weren't.
They used to be. I used to request songs when I lived in Connecticut.
I don't know, man. People sound stupid enough. Oh, but here's what I was going to say. Seattle, Washington,
not DC, Washington State.
They have a dubstep radio station.
Yes, they do.
And it's member supported public radio.
Really?
Yes. Wow. It might be a part of a community college too, but it's definitely.
I would think.
No. But it's definitely like member supported, like 89.9 or something, like. I'm like flipping through and I was hearing like fucking Cascade or something, like I didn't recognize cassette, like, and I'm like, oh shit, there's a fucking Seattle EDM radio station.
Now, is it dubstep or is it like EDM? Like it's also got the dubstep and then it's got sort of like the technotronic stuff.
It's got dubstep, house, fucking, right. Drum and bass.
Do you remember all the different terminologies for techno? There used to be those like house, drum and bass. There was a jungle, trance.
They play all of that, Some shows are for some things, some shows are for others. You might hear D-Light on there, you know, like grooves and it's dance music,
right?
But it's a lot of the stuff they're playing in a non-specific
dance music. Dance music is code for music to do drugs by.
Yes, I think their usual fare when you're not in a specific show doing a specific set of tunes is like tends to be modern dubstep and drum and bass. Which I was like, this is awesome. Like, this might be worth having an HD radio.
You know, now that we're talking about radio.
Now that we are not talking about video games.
Now that we're talking about radio.
Maybe we can keep doing this show if we never talk about another video game.
I have noticed something that I wanted to share. This is a New York thing. I don't know when this happened. My wife has a radio in the car now that she has a car. And she never remembers to bring her iPad or her iPod to plug in to listen to music. So I'll turn on the radio. When did every single station below 100 and then, like, above 105 become Spanish? Like, every single station is Spanish radio now.
In New York?
Yeah.
Yeah, that happened, like, fucking 10 years ago.
Was it that long ago? Like,
I've seen some stuff about their...
I understand why, because it's just the market that is listening to radio.
Yeah,
but...
I mean, there are a lot of, like, mainstream stations that have changed format to... I mean, there's no fucking rock station in New York.
No, there's no rock station.
There's a... God, we are getting really... but there's Q1043, the classic rock station, and they don't even play classic rock anymore.
Right.
And then I was listening to them, and they played fucking Fall Out Boy.
Right. And then there's... what the hell was the other station? Z100 occasionally plays like something in the rock genre, but it's usually pop rock.
Yeah, yeah.
But there used to be dedicated rock stations.
Well, 92.3 used to be K-Rock. Yeah. Howard Stern used to be on the mornings, and then there
and
was
And then
like,
he went to Sirius
and then, like,
XM.
That was like Matt Pinnefeld was on that fucking station, and he used to work at... FM 106.3 in Eatontown, New Jersey, which was my hometown alternative rock station, which is now country. Like, fucking, that is the station I used to call shit into. Like, hey, can you play fucking Dynamite Hack, Boys in the Hood? Like, dude, I worked at Jersey Mike's and, like, was calling in requests every night to the point where, like, fucking, like, I was...
Speed dial.
They're like, oh, it's John from Jersey Mike's again. I'm like,
hey, regular.
Like, hey, can you play, Man, I've always had kind of weird taste in music. Like, because I would go to punk shows on the weekend and then fucking be calling in requests to hear, what the fuck is that band?
Hemorrhaging My Hands Again. One of those bands.
Yeah, one of those bands that sounds like that.
Oh, you know what? Okay, so now that we're not talking about video games at all and talking about music. Maybe. Maxwell's in Jersey is closing.
God, what, are we just like... Yeah,
I know. The music episode.
I know. Somebody posted about that, and I was like, somebody was like, oh, you know, I never got to see Yo La Tengo there. And I'm like, yeah, I saw him there. It was the whitest and most boring thing I've ever seen in my life.
Well, I mean, that officially just proves that music is dead.
No, Yo La Tengo is...
Well, rock clubs are dead.
Well, you saw their... Anyway.
Anyway, let's talk about video games, John. We do have a game that we both played that we want to talk about. For different reasons. We didn't play the game, though. We played the demo.
Project X.
Project X is a...
Project X
That's not racist. That's how the game opens.
Yeah.
And so we both played this, and I'd like to know what your thoughts are before I share mine.
Oh, dude. I is in love. Ooh, I love it.
Was it
love
what you were expecting?
Yes.
Okay. Here's...
What are you expecting? I told you, like... I told you, I showed you the trailer, I said tactical RPG with characters from SNK, Capcom, and Sega games. Oh, and Namco.
Like everything. There's Sega, Namco,
no, it's Sega,
Tekken,
Namco.
Tekken's Namco.
So I said SNK.
Sega, Namco.
Namco,
Bandai.
Namco, Bandai is the same company.
It's not like Bandai Presto.
And Capcom, and there's Capcom.
And there's some other, I think there's actually... I think it might actually be manga characters and, like, anime characters in there as well.
I think it's three. Anyway, so tactical RPG with some light direct control of the actual battles.
Yeah, so tactical RPG was where I sort of lost. I did not realize that tactical was just going to be the movement phase, and then the combat is very different.
Then what?
It's
Fire
it's,
Emblem?
Most tactical RPGs or Final Fantasy Tactics.
I like that I'm so new to this that I get to like kind of form, you know,
like a real opinion as opposed to a biased one.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's bad, but I'm saying it is very different than what I would align it closer to Valkyria Chronicles than I would like a traditional tactical RPG. Because Valkyria Chronicles, what happens is you control a person in like a top down or well, you select a person in top down, and then they move in first person, and you can shoot in first person.
Okay, so yeah, so this you move around. It's like Fire Emblem, except that you have direct control of the characters fighting.
Well, direct command input. They yeah. sort of fight on their own.
And then they're support characters.
Yeah.
So I don't know who these other fucking characters I was using were. Probably some Sega
characters. Most of the characters I did not recognize.
So, but then I got to call my support character was Ulala.
Yeah.
Oh my god, from Space Channel 5 and Space Channel 5 Part 2. Oh my god. That was awesome.
So I just here's the thing,
dude. The weird. This is the kind of Japanese shit I like.
What this game
fucking
is.
Weird ass stuff. I don't like the super fucking self serious like Resident Evil type shit. I don't like that. Like Final Fantasy, I got no fucking time for that.
Yeah,
I like.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
I like balls out crazy Japan like Catherine.
So here's
Catherine was in this.
Who the hell knows? This game is a lot like, and I know I've mentioned it to you before, the Super Robot Wars games, where they take all these different things from all these different properties and throw them into a game, and then it's a tactical RPG, which is exactly what Super Robot Wars is, which was a game I liked enough. Here's the thing. Maybe I wasn't entirely prepared for this. I don't know most of the characters. Like, I knew Ken and Ryu, and for whatever reason, I know the Dot Hack characters because I played the first game years ago on PS2. Mm-hmm. Didn't much care for it, but I recognize those characters.
Ulala?
And Ulala. The amount... Once you go into combat, the amount of shit that is going on the goddamn screen.
So you are bothered by the exact thing I love.
But there's like, you can do different, like nothing, like the,
and if there's and maybe it's because if there's characters staying nearby, they can support you like in Fire Emblem. So I've got like.
Dude, but you have to call them, but there doesn't seem to be a reason so not to call them. And
because the demo is a mid,
and maybe that's the thing. There's
it's a middle of the game thing,
right? And there's a lot of things in the game.
Like there's no reason in the demo not to spend XP on stuff,
right? And there's a lot of commands that have like a B or whatever or S. I don't know what those things mean. They're not really explained in the game, and I had to like dig through the menu system to get like an inkling of what they were, and I still don't quite understand.
I didn't quite go that deep. I just like was like, this is fun.
And I don't know.
This dialogue's great.
Tactically, I also don't necessarily know how I like a game with heavy tactics, and I don't know that this one has it so much as it's more of like, it's the button masher of tactical RPGs.
I don't know. I feel like we'll see.
And I also hope that when the game comes out...
Did you cancel your pre-order?
I never made the pre-order.
Dude, you have to pre-order. You get the special edition.
Yeah, I think I'll do that tonight then. I want to know more, but like...
Okay.
Do
you want to know the only three games I have pre-ordered this summer?
What do you get?
I got Project X Zone.
Okay.
I got Shin Megami Tensei 4.
Okay.
Oh, and fucking Dragon Crown.
Dragon's Crown.
Who the fuck am I?
I don't know.
Dude, remember when people accused me of not liking Japanese games?
Well, there's another game I think you'll be pre-ordering when we get to hype.
We'll get there.
I hope when the game comes out that like, because there's so many characters I don't know and also don't give a shit about, that I hope they either make it so that I care about them or that I don't have to use them.
Care about them? Like, who gives a fuck about caring about
like,
them?
I'd much rather play
Fire Emblem?
Yes.
Did you care about all of them?
For the most part.
God, you're...
Except for Sully.
Your wife. She died in mine, too. Poor Crom. And then he couldn't remarry.
Is it weird that I'm actually thinking about buying the DLC for Fire Emblem right now?
You need to stop.
I'm at endgame. I'm at the last, very last battle, and now I'm... cleaning up all of the little things.
Anyway,
and leveling
we're not,
everyone.
We're not. Yeah. We're not talking about
no, we're
that
not.
Anymore. I'm in. Let's just talk about what we're going to talk about in the hype section anyway. Like you're referring to Last of Us, right?
No.
You're talking to Remember Me?
No.
Okay, we'll just wait for the hype section then. Anyway, and I'm fucking in, dude. I'm like caring about these characters. Fuck it. It's a weird-ass thing. There's, you know, dimensional rifts. It seems like self-aware fourth wall breaking. Like,
it feels
oh my
a
God,
lot like Kingdom Hearts, to be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Except, like, I fucking hate Disney.
I liked the first Kingdom Hearts. Everything after that I could live without, but the first one was okay.
All right.
I liked going to the Nightmare Before Christmas land.
I would. You're that kind of emo kid. So,
the other thing I wanted to talk about, John, I saw Star Trek Into Darkness.
I'm going to see that this weekend.
It is really good, and I'm trying not to say that as a Trek fan. I'm trying to say that as a person who just saw the other Trek movie. But I am a Trek fan, so it's hard for me not to like it. It does have a good number of fan service moments. The first one had a few, but they were pretty obvious and they were pretty well worked into the story. This one has so many fan service moments that only real Trek fans will get. And I think you'll appreciate it.
So, like, as somebody who's seen all of the original series and all the Next Gen and all the movies and most of Deep Space Nine, Voyager, and all of Enterprise?
I don't think it goes into DS9 or Voyager.
But there is Next Gen nods?
I think so. I'm trying to remember specific examples, and I don't want to ruin any of them for you.
All right, well, then don't.
But
then don't, son.
Definitely, definitely original series. And there's a couple of good twists in the movie that you'll probably see coming, but it is definitely a worthy follow-up to the sequel. And I've heard mixed reviews about the movie, believe it or not, because some people said it was too referential.
Oh, I don't, fuck that.
I don't think so at all. I mean, it's a really good, fun action movie. I was there with my wife and my sister-in-law, and they both really liked the movie, and they've never seen an episode of Star Trek other than the movies. So that was sort of like my barometer for whether it was good or not. Totally worth the money. Saw it in 3D. The 3D is very strong up front, and then it does what most 3D movies do, in that, like, they don't keep it going.
No, or enough. that you stop noticing,
right? But it was good up front. You know, visually, it's the big summer blockbuster before the next one. So definitely, definitely go see it. It's totally worth your dollar.
Or 12, depending on where you live.
16, as I had to pay.
Oh, yeah. So I am continuing to just kick ass in Pack and Jump iOS.
I hope there's treasure at the end of this rainbow.
So I don't know why. Have you downloaded this yet for Android?
I haven't opened it yet.
I think it's on. You do have it.
I do have it.
Well, get it and then get all the DLC and then let me know the scores you get. I'm only comparing to.
What do you think? I'm going to like break right past you right away?
I don't know. You might. Like, I've really been honing this. And I have managed to. I mean, I'm an elite level pack and jump player.
Is the score attack in this game like based on the length of time you play a level? It just the longer you go, the higher your score is.
Yeah, the higher you can go.
The challenge I might have, and I don't, maybe I'm assuming this, is like I tend to play my cell phone on the subway.
Oh, me too.
Is my subway ride going to be long enough to even get close to your score?
Yeah, or, yeah. You're talking about like a fucking a record run would probably be less than 10 minutes.
Okay.
I mean, just really, like, just to give you an idea of, like, the kind of high-level play I'm dealing with. And this is only players who have Game Center activated that play this game. So, whatever. That's like the Xbox Live version of.
So, I don't know. I don't know that my score will be put into the mix with yours, but.
Well, yeah, but we can still compare.
Yeah.
But on the first stage, I am number 125 out of 23,000. As you go. In the state, like deeper in the stages, because only the first one comes with the original purchase or something like that. Second stage, I'm number 32 out of 12,000. Third stage, 24 out of 7,000. And dude, stage 8, I know there's not a lot of players, but I'm number 16 out of 2,000.
It's pretty up there.
I'm the most proud of my first two, and I've been setting new PBs. The last 2 weeks pretty regularly. For some reason my stage 4 PB is not syncing, but it's good enough to be in top 5% there. Elite level pack and jump play.
If only you could put this to good use.
Dude, man. I'm so, like, often I'll play this right before I go to bed and I will set a PB in bed.
Oh, that sounded filthy.
And that is the only time I will ever set.
That sounded absolutely grotesque.
The only time I will set a record in bed.
Yeah. So the only other thing I did this week, because in case our audience didn't know, I'm moving, as are you, but I'm only moving down the block. But I had to pack a lot this week.
Cool story, bro.
I did manage to close the circle, and I watched Riddick: Dark Fury.
Yeah, it's a half hour.
Did not like it
at all.
Not really. I don't like. It's done by the guy who did Aeon Flux, right?
It's the same. Yeah.
I you know what, Aeon Flux was fine, but even that I get sick of. He had another show about Alexander the Great that I couldn't stand, and this one, like, it didn't feel right for Riddick to me. It does introduce the Tombs character that's in Chronicles of Riddick, but it's not really like his intro is just like, here he is, he's a bounty hunter, and that's sort of, and he survives. That's all the story arc of that character in that game.
I don't know. I thought it was fine.
It was fine, but it just wasn't. It wasn't great.
I mean, you pirated it. It's not like you own it on HD DVD. Just kidding. It's not available on HD DVD. It's only available on regular DVD.
I feel like I watched it on Netflix, but I don't think it's on Netflix. Maybe I did.
No, you stole it.
Yeah. So, yeah, I didn't love it.
Not Vin Diesel's best short film. By the way, his best short film is probably Los Bandoleros, which is a prequel. Well, it takes place between Fast and Furious, Too Fast, Too Furious, and Fast and Furious. Just Fast and Furious, the fourth one. It's written and directed by Vin Diesel. I highly recommend it. It's 20 minutes well spent if you're already invested in the Fast and Furious universe.
Live action?
Yeah. It's available on it's on YouTube, or it comes on the Blu-ray or DVD.
That sounds very Vin Diesel-y.
Yeah,
but we're out of Vin Diesel week. Well, so,
oh, that reminds me. So
we have so much more Vin Diesel on the show today.
Moving. So, what consoles are going in the car, and which ones are going in the moving van?
Well, I'm not doing moving van.
No, I'm talking about me. What do you think?
I think,
knowing everything I fucking own,
I think anything that has like a persistent user ID needs to come with you in the car. So the PS4, the Xbox.
PS4?
Or PS3.
Cat's out of the bag, folks. I'm moving to Tokyo to work on fucking PlayStation.
The
Because I have a PS4.
Yeah. But
who wants to come over?
PS3 and the Xbox, and, of course, the 3DS, because you can play it in the car when you're not driving.
What about the Wii U, man? Anyway, you're wrong. The only plug into the TV console that I'm hand-carrying across the country is my Xbox. Because if the mover takes like 5 or 6 extra days or something to get the fuck across the country, like I gotta have that. Like I gotta have one thing that I can watch Netflix on, right?
Daddy needs his fix.
Yeah. So there's that, and then 3DS and PSP I'll take with.
Oh yeah, PSP is a good one too.
Yeah. I mean, obviously I have my computer with me too, because I'm actually working.
You're taking a regular car out there?
We're driving.
How are you? But you're hiring movers to bring everything else.
Yeah, and then we're driving our car.
How deep are you stacking that car?
We have decided that we are not going to pack it to the gills.
Yeah, because you need your rear view and all that.
Yeah, and like I just don't want to deal with that weird thing, because we're going to be stopping at hotels and camping.
Leaving it in a parking lot.
We're going to camp a couple nights.
Yeah.
Dude, once you get out of fucking New York, you don't have to worry about leaving shit in the car. Like, I mean, I'm going to be in like, besides New York, I'm going to be in Chicago one night. That'll be fine. Hopefully, now that I think about it.
Are you going to stop and see, you know, the world's biggest ball of yarn or any of that stuff? Or
Mount Rushmore.
You going to go do Rushmore?
Yeah. Yellowstone.
It's good that you're driving to Rushmore, because I've heard that it's really great to see once and then there's nothing.
Yeah, no, I'm glad it's on the fucking way.
Yeah. Because
my estranged family, like, went there on vacation one year. It's like, what the fuck are you people thinking?
Like, they saw it, and then they got a burger, and they were done.
Then you just camp.
Yeah.
So, I'm going to be doing a lot more camping out when I move out there and stuff, like, just simply because it's not horrible like it is here. And I have that huge telescope, and, like, it's just going to be so much better there, right? Fucking, there's this place called Crater Lake in South Central Oregon.
That's the worst part of Oregon.
No, it's kind of like empty, but it's part of the Cascades, the Cascade Mountain Range, and the story behind this mountain is millions of years ago, it was an active volcano, much as Mount Rainier is now, this huge gigantic active volcano that's going to be 60 miles away from my new home. But it was an active volcano, and its explosion was so violent that the entire mountain exploded and the top collapsed in on it.
Right.
So it formed this gigantic crater and also the top of the mountain kind of like fell in. So millions of years of cumulative rainfall made it into basically a giant lake with no tributaries and no nothing flows out of it, really.
Oh, is that one of those weird lakes where there's sea life in it, but they don't know how it got there?
I think it might have been stocked at some point.
Because there's a couple of closed environment lakes around the world that have, like,
I don't know. I don't actually
fish, and no one knows how they got there.
I don't know the answer to that question, but I've been there, and it's just incredible. The fucking top of the mountain is now an island in the middle of the fucking this huge lake. It's crazy. It's like 1,000 feet deep in places. It's really nuts.
Well, you can go take a swim.
And you, thank you for joining us for nature talk.
Nature time.
Happy little trees.
Happy little tree. So, oh god, it's too calm. Let's take a break, get some booze, and come back with hype.
It feels like a perfect night to dress up like hipsters and make fun of our exes. It feels like a perfect night for breakfast at midnight to fall in love with strangers. Yeah, we're happy, free, confused, and lonely at the same time.
Welcome back to Banana Club.
Banana Club.
It's not
a group of bananas. It's actually a weapon made.
What
it's
a group of bananas called?
Banani?
No.
A bunch.
Is it?
Yeah, a bunch of bananas.
What's a funny word for a thing that's a group?
Come, Mr. Tallyman. A murder of crows.
A murder of bananas.
It's a murder of bananas.
What do you call a hammock that holds bananas? Clusters.
A cluster of...
Okay.
A banana cluster?
And honestly, this is from Yahoo Answers, so whatever. They grow in hanging clusters, which up to 20 fruit to a tier called a hand, and 30 to 20 tiers to a bunch. The total of hanging clusters known as a bunch, or commercially known as a banana stern. Gross.
A banana Howard stern. Baba Booey. Banana.
Show's over.
Show's over. Now you're glad you're leaving.
I'm so glad.
Okay. It's Banana Club. It's Banana Mace.
God, this is the worst. We should kill this whole thing. We're right down the street from S Club 7.
Oh, this bourbon's doing its job.
We're drinking raw, you fucking animal.
All right.
God, uncultured. John. Disgusting. Uncultured.
Did you read the link I sent you earlier?
I had read it before you sent it to me.
Okay.
Much like everything you sent to me.
Saints Row 4 has a special edition, $100 special edition, limited.
The Wub-Wub edition.
The Wub-Wub edition. It comes with the game, a statue, I guess, of the main character.
Which is weird because you can customize your appearance.
A working replica dubstep gun.
I'm in.
And a dubstep panic button, which is a red button with a little flippy clear plastic top.
And when you
thing.
Hit it, it plays a
And when you hit it, it plays a heavy drop.
That's a problem, because you know the speaker on that little fucking thing is not going to, like... Somebody needs to, like, wire that up to...
Put a speaker output on it.
A giant 16-inch subwoofer that it is exclusively for that. We should do that. Let's do that.
That's our project.
Hey... Everybody's been wondering, what could somebody actually do with a Raspberry Pi that's cool?
You don't even need a Raspberry Pi, though.
But we will. We'll use one.
You just need to take the...
How are we going to get fucking any recognition from the tech press if we don't use a Raspberry Pi?
I say we use an Arduino.
Lame.
Are we getting, this is inside baseball, isn't it?
No. Inside baseball? A fucking Arduino? How often do you use an Arduino in your day-to-day?
Like 2 or 3 times.
Lies.
No, we use them pretty
regularly. Do you guys have them in the fucking iPad wall?
Anyway, so yes, this might have, I'm buying this regardless of whether I want to play this game or not.
I want to play this game.
Awesome, awesome limited edition set.
Yeah, limited. Yeah, I'm getting it.
I want it for the dubstep gun.
Did we say this was Saints Row 4?
Yeah. We did say it was Saints
Row. You know what's grossing me about Saints Row 4?
Okay, let me hear it.
Current gen.
You don't think it's going to be split gen?
No, it's going to be current gen. I don't know. We'll find out. Dude, why are we not talking about E3 is next week.
E3 is next week.
Oh, God. Let me scoot under the desk so you can't see my giant boner.
Are you really excited for it?
Fuck yeah, dude.
I've gotten less and less.
Next gen, slut.
I know, but I've gotten less and less excited over E3s for years and years now.
Console launch, bitch.
Yeah. You know,
console launch.
I think they're going to win me back.
Console launch.
The funniest announcement.
Console.
The funniest announcement I saw for E3 was the Square one, and they're having a panel or a presentation called "The Future of Final Fantasy," and I'm really hoping that the future of Final Fantasy is that it doesn't suck anymore.
When has it not sucked? 6.
Yeah.
If you really think about it, 6 is the last one that wasn't whack.
I liked 7. I'll admit it.
You don't like it now.
No, I don't.
Play it today, dude.
No, I
don't. Play it today.
But at the time, it was fine. You heard about the other thing with Final Fantasy? With 9? There's some secret side quest mission that people in America just discovered.
Really?
Yeah. It was known of in Japan, but it had never made it to America, and it never made the translation.
That's why I love video games, folks.
So this is like, what, 10 years after the fact, or maybe even more?
9, let's see, 8 coincided with the Dreamcast launch.
Yeah.
So that was 99. 9 was probably 2, but 9 was on PS1, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was PS1.
So 9, was 9 with the coincide with the PS, with the Dreamcast launch? I don't know. Regardless, talk.
Anyway, so there's a side quest that's like, it's really difficult to actually get to. Because you have to do something in very specific order, and it's not logical. You actually have to basically be looking for the side quest.
2000.
And, it's in the last dungeon, and it's... the quest is irrelevant. The fact that no one found it up until this point is shocking. And the fact that people are still going back to play this game is also a little bit of
I've never played 9. I've heard good things about it.
9 was okay. It was the one that went back to the original art style, so it had, like, that going for it. It was not a terrible game. 8, however, was a pile of waste.
No, you're wrong. Wow, can you believe they released them yearly?
Oh, yeah.
No, 8 is not a pile of garbage.
I thought
Squall?
8 was not great.
8 was good.
You thought so? I mean, I liked all of them back in the day enough, but in retrospect, I think 8 is the one that held up the least for me.
Dude, I think I finished 8. I don't think I ever finished 7.
I don't care.
Do you want to go watch Advent Children on DVD?
Oh, God, no.
I have it.
Oh, don't.
Do you want it?
It's terrible.
Should we run a contest to get rid of some of my old stuff? Does anybody want a copy of Terminator Salvation that I forgot to send back to Gamefly?
No one wants that.
How about a copy of Final Fantasy VII Advent Children on regular-ass DVD?
Standard def, ew.
Well, yeah. But if you have a...
God, I want to vomit in my own eyes.
If you have an HD DVD player, it up-reses pretty well.
That's because it's all very clean.
Get closer
lines
to the mic, Fred.
Anyway, so the other thing is that we picked a really lousy week to move. Or weeks to move, because there's a lot of releases coming out that we actually want to play.
Yeah, also... E3, man. We'll talk about it next week. We'll be E3, right in the fucking heat of it. Right in the...
In the midst.
Yeah.
And we'll be... at least I will be doing something a little bit special with our pals over at Perpetual Geek.
Yeah, I'll be flying that day.
Yes,
so
you will.
We'll see.
What a lousy day to
actually
fly.
You know what? To be honest with you, I might... Maybe from the airport. Maybe I'll...
from the plane.
You're Google hanging out. I can Google hang out from... not from a plane, but from
Delta.
My phone. Oh, fine. US Airways. So, hey, If I'm not on next week's show, it's probably because I'm laid over in Atlanta.
And yeah, so there's also, in addition to E3, we've got two major titles coming out, in my opinion. We have Last of Us.
I think one major title and one
we're hoping about.
One that Capcom is going to, another one where they're going to say, oh God, what do we do?
So The Last of Us. Mm-hmm. Coming out, is it this week or next week?
Week after. Next week. Reviews are already up. Is it next week?
I think it might be. The reviews are weird because they're not talking about the game itself, but they're talking basically about how it reinvents storytelling. Which I believe.
So, yeah, it comes out on the 14th.
So, today's the 5th. So, it comes out
on a Friday.
Yeah. 9 days from now. Well, you know what's funny is that they were talking about how cinematic the game is, so maybe they're taking the movie standard releasing on a Friday.
Well, movies come out on DVD on Tuesday. Anyway, I'm going to play this. I'm going to get it as soon as I get my PlayStation back early July. But only a 7.5 on Polygon.
Dude, okay, so I said this earlier today. I love Polygon, and I respect what they do there, but their scale is notoriously low, I think.
No. Not low. They use the whole scale.
Yeah, no, that's what... In comparison to the rest of the industry.
Yeah, no, fuck the rest of the industry, but, like, IGN gave it a 10, because...
Dude, 7.5 is still a respectable
score. No, 7.5 is really good, but, like, I'm looking for a Polygon 10.
I actually kind of wish that Polygon...
Like Persona 4 Golden.
Do they break it out? Do they break out how the review...
Fun factor!
No, but at least like gameplay versus storytelling.
No, that's not how that works.
Because I think this is a more story-driven.
So what they do is their writers write the score, give it to three people on the staff to read, and then they assign the score based on how the review reads.
Okay.
Which I think is fucking amazing. So if you come back with a score the writer didn't have in mind or something, they need to adjust the copy and resubmit.
Okay. I think 7.5, I honestly think it sounds like low from what I've also read about the thing. I think it's going to be
an exceptional game. We live in this fucking world where like 7 is garbage.
No, even after reading content about it on Polygon.
Did you read the Polygon review though?
Yeah. I think 7.5 is actually fine for a game that I want to play. And I will play it. And then The Last of Us.
How are you going to play it?
I don't know. I'll find a way. I'll buy a PS3.
Life finds a way, man.
So also The Last of Us Remember Me comes out shortly.
Remember Me comes out today. I thought you pre-ordered it.
I didn't. I retracted because I didn't know where I was going to live at the time.
Why did you just have it sent to work?
It looks very good. The reviews about the gameplay are mixed, but the reviews about the storytelling method and what they're trying to do with the game are very good, which is actually more interesting to me. It does not... Like, we originally had thought maybe it's going to be like the next Mirror's Edge.
Yeah.
But it does not resonate as such.
There are close to 1,000 comments on the Polygon review so far. Like, even when they do controversial shit, it's usually 400.
I think this game is just super anticipated.
Yeah, dude. Jesus Christ. Anyway.
It's a lot.
No, but Remember Me, yeah. I really want to play it. I kind of want to support them, but I'm not going to be playing any new games for the next month or so.
Right.
So... We'll see when I get to it.
I think this might be mine to run with.
Buy it.
I'm going to.
Buy it for $60.
Done.
$60.
Done.
Support it.
I got that pocket change, my friend.
I know it is.
Anyway. The hype section is not all good news today. Unfortunately, and we sometimes have to do this on our show because we feel obligated as a, not a news outlet is too grandiose, but as a facet of the video gaming community, we feel obligated to report on a tragic loss.
Not another Fred.
No, unfortunately, we are sad to announce that OMG Pop, or OMGA Pop, makers of the popular Draw Something game are now wirelessly drawing dicks on everything in heaven. The dying whale of a social media gaming company, Zynga, has laid off 520 employees, almost 18% of the work staff. Amongst them, former staff of OMG Pop, which the gelatinous blob monster Zynga absorbed into its vile maw when they consumed the draw something, in what can only be referred to as a $200 million meal, only to have it instantly fail. In a letter to his employees, issued from a secret volcano base underneath his brand new $16 million home, Zynga CEO Mark Pincus claimed that this was all an effort to move forward into the world of mobile and touch-based gaming, which is why he laid off the development studio he owned responsible for mobile and touch-based gaming. He also then said, "Fuck the poor," which is a strange way to end his email. But all is not lost, as all of the laid-off employees will receive a severance package, including 50 farm bucks and a cow.
Truly tragic, friend.
Sad news.
Yo, real talk, though, remember how much fun fucking Draw Something was for, like, 2 weeks?
For, like, 2 weeks.
Dude, just sending all my friends pictures of cock, and then, like, the word, like, let's say the word is tent. Like, I would draw a cock and then write the word tent. Just a big veiny motherfucker.
Or just a dick holding up like a triangle.
You know, I feel really truly blessed to work in this industry and have been playing Draw Something with some talented designers and artists. The stuff Ian McAllister sent me in Draw Something was just the most graphic, vile, like...
They're masterpieces. Masterpieces.
People having sex while putting cigarettes out on each other.
Why wouldn't he?
The word was dishwasher.
it's good to be alive.
We should start playing that game again. now that we...
If it exists anymore.
No, it does. Now that we're going to be across the country from each other, we should actually play online together once in a while.
I think we will, John. I think we will. Especially now that I have Fios.
Yeah. I've got Pacific Northwest internet, which means fucking smoke signal. I don't know.
Just like Canada. God, you know that news was too sad. I think we need to take a break to compose ourselves and come right back with Game Club.
Game Club. Heads up! Heads up! Here's another one. Why you all in my ear talking a whole bunch of shit that I ain't trying to hear? Get back, you don't know me like that. Get back, you don't know me like that. Geek, I ain't playing around. Make one false move, I take you down. Get back, you don't know me like that. Get back, you don't know me like that. So come on, don't. Swung on, it's the knick-knack, paddywhack, still riding Cadillacs, family off the street, made my homies put the baggies back, still stacking black, still action-packed, and dope, I keep it flipping like acrobats, that's why I'm that'll crack a back, cause all my whip is more hip than the Shaq attack, but I ain't speaking about bowling, just thinking about brawling till y'all start Fred.
Calling. John.
Game Club. So what is Game Club?
I'm going to be happier now. Game Club is where we take a game and play through beginning to end the entire game and talk about and discuss the finer points of it, like as if it was a book that we were analyzing. Oprah.
Dude, like an Oprah's book club?
Like Oprah.
Like Oprah's Game Club?
Yeah.
Dude, they're doing Sword and Sorcery this week.
On Oprah?
Yeah, Sword and Sorcery. Like the iOS game by Capybara.
Wait, they play video games on Oprah?
Wait, I don't know if... You're
Did
like,
I just get trolled? What just happened?
I don't know if you're fucking with me when I'm fucking with you, like, and, like, my head hurts. I feel like I'm a cat trying to get out of a paper bag now. Wait, you're being serious. You were like, they play games on Oprah?
How the hell do I know? She doesn't even have a show anymore, does she?
No, she's got, I think, like, The Next Step or something. It's where she interviews, like, 50 Cent and, what's his name?
Luda.
No, Luda still has no love for Oprah. Do you remember when Ludacris accepted his Grammy? He went up there and he said, "I want to thank Oprah Winfrey and Bill O'Reilly. Peace." Luda!
Luda.
Dude, seriously, if you don't love Ludacris after that shit, oh my god, that was please edit that in, Fred.
I do remember the Bill O'Reilly event.
Yeah, with him. Ludacris is a smart guy. Yeah. Let's not get that twisted. And also is tangentially like related to what we're talking about.
Can I tell you that I find that rappers who go into acting, by and large, I think are more are rappers that I am more inclined to listen to their music of.
Oh, like Ja Rule and 50 Cent?
Not all of them, but like Common.
Oh, well, Common is a different case because.
Well, I'm
Common is fantastic.
Chagrin to call him a rapper, even.
No, he's a rapper.
Yeah, but
I've seen him rap.
Common,
I've seen him rap.
Luda, you know, back in the day, Tupac.
Yeah, well, Tupac went to performing arts high school. Like this whole like the gangster thing, sort of like.
That was a stage presence.
Well, no, I mean it sort of strung, you know, came out in the periphery. Like he went to like performing arts school with the now Jada Pinkett Smith.
Yeah. Although you know it does. This is not a hard and fast rule because like, you know, Puffy. Whatever his name
he's
is
he's been
now.
In some bad movies.
He's been in some really bad movies.
And also his songs are not that good.
And he's just pretty bad.
So Game Club is where we book club a game.
Oh yeah, we were talking about a thing, weren't we?
And this week we're doing the second part of, the middle third of...
Chronicles of Riddick, Escape from Butcher Bay.
Yeah.
And I'm playing it on PC as part of the Assault on Dark Athena re-release.
Yeah.
So if you don't want this game to be spoiled for you, if you are planning on playing it, maybe skip ahead a little.
All right. So to recap last week, we got through the first prison, the first level of the prison. Now we're on this. Now Riddick is on the second level where he has to like kind of fight through. He's trying to get into mines, right?
Yeah.
So you fight, you can get. You have to get to a certain place, and you can get there one of two ways. You can either carry contraband on you and get frisked down, which is like kind of the easy way, or you can
fight in the arena.
Yeah, fight in the arena, kill a bunch of people, and then be taken there. I went that way this time. The last time I played it, I think I got put the contraband on me or whatever.
Okay.
There's a bunch of like side missions and stuff, and
most of them reward you with different packs of cigarettes.
Yeah, which are just a piece of concept art the main menu. So I didn't. I'm gonna real talk. I did not get to where we were supposed to get.
Well, here's the
super
thing I
busy,
noticed.
But I'm gonna do it this weekend because I only have one friend in Seattle and he's got to watch his kid at some point. Right. So
here's the weird thing about the game is broken up into three. Chapters, as it were, the three prisons. Chapter two, I think, is way longer than the other. I think it's probably longer than one and three combined.
Yeah, having looked at a walkthrough.
Chapter two just has a lot more steps.
Yeah. So, the middle part of Game Club is so hard to, like, it's so hard to figure out.
Because there's nothing new, but it's not conclusion.
Yeah. Yeah. So I got as far, I'm, like, getting balls deep in those mines, and, like, I'm finding it very difficult at parts. Sometimes, like,
and there were a couple combat puzzles that are really difficult.
I'm really kind of like upset to say this, but like, I've kind of just broken it at places. I'm like, well, I've got six life bars now. I can rush through this part and like and be okay. And like
I did the same exact thing. There's one very specific part where when you're trying to penetrate right into the mining core, and before you can get in there you walk into like this garage that has like a forklift and an armored guy. And at this point all you have a stun gun if you got it, but you don't have a weapon.
Yeah.
And so you cannot take out the armored guy.
There's one of two ways. You can either jump up on that balcony or go behind the armored guy, right? That's the one you're talking about.
You can try to get behind the armored guy, but there's a mechanic working there, so you have to take him out real quick and then hide.
Oh, this might be after what I'm talking about.
It might be. And I died on this part like three or four times before I finally said, fuck it, I'll play this tomorrow, turned it off, turned it on the next day, and then kept dying. Until finally my strategy was like, run the fuck through it and see what happens.
Yeah.
Serpentine.
This I feel like the stealth when it's like when it's a, like a well put together puzzle, is awesome.
Right.
When it gets frustrating, like it really sucks.
Yeah, and you know what's funny is that I was reading about the re-release, and they actually made some parts more difficult and some parts easier. But they changed how like the cone of vision works for a lot of these guys.
Yeah, you know, I'm really looking forward to eventually later this summer playing Dark Athena.
I think it might be better.
You know, they made it in 2009. I
mean, yeah, they had a lot more time on it.
Okay, so guys, full disclosure, you know, I'm going to Seattle. Obviously, I'm going to Tygon Studios. Yeah, sure, they haven't updated their website since 2009, and it's entirely Flash-based, but that's where I'm going.
They make Flash games now.
That's Vin Diesel's studio. I don't know if it still exists. I want to call them.
Maybe now with the release of the third Riddick movie.
Well, they announced three games that we never heard more. There was like one based on Hannibal, like that Hannibal movie he wanted to make. One based on this like rogue cop from the Bronx in the 70s. Yeah, I shit you not. And one more. But what the fuck was that?
It sounded like a cat.
Anyway, but Vin Diesel, like, he gives a shit about video games.
Yeah, no, I mean, I imagine he himself is a gamer.
Dude.
If you search Tygon, you get ligers and shit.
I didn't realize that Tygon is actually a hybrid between a tiger
and
a lion.
But yeah.
A lioness. It has to be a female lion.
It has to be a female. If it's the other way around, it's a liger.
Jesus Christ.
I know. I can't believe I know that.
How much do you love Vin Diesel? Like, I mean, how fucking, like, heartwarming is it that I watched some shit, like, he just put on video on Facebook the other day. And by the way, Vin Diesel on Facebook is called VinBook. Dude, it's so inspirational. But, you know, what is it? Melkor. Oh, yeah. Melkor was the other announced game from Tygon Studios. Melkor is based on Vin Diesel's favorite self-created Dungeons & Dragons
D&D
character.
Campaign, right? Yeah.
Yeah, his favorite Dungeons & Dragons character. So the other one was Perone, about this rogue New York cop. By the way, I really encourage everybody to go to TygonStudios.com.
If you want to take a looking glass trip back in time.
If you want to see what we thought the future of the web would be when everything was built in fucking Flash, there are sounds for everything. And then Barca BC, which is about Hannibal. Because he was trying to get this, this was an RTS, he was trying to get this Hannibal movie made for like forever.
He's a man who has big aspirations.
Dude, he's going to be kind of like Kurt Schilling. No, he's going to be like the good
version. He'll be successful.
Well, because like Kurt Schilling had so much money in the bank and then fucking decided, I want to make an MMO.
I'm going to make a console-based MMO.
Yeah. Well, no, it just, the MMO is never coming out. Anyway.
But yeah, Butcher Bay. Yeah, the middle is really difficult to talk about. I mean, I found that the middle got really difficult, so I wonder what the last third of the game is actually going to play out to be. There were times where I definitely cheated the game, and I gotta say that the game has some failings that were, you know, of the time period. Like there's clipping issues with some of the characters. Exhibit's character dies a really unceremonious death.
You did the fighting route?
Yes, I did the fighting route.
I would hardly say unceremonious, because as far as I know, that's the first use of the Fury and Rage.
Okay.
Well, I mean, you
his little Dragon Ball moment?
Well, you then beat X to the Z Exhibit to death.
Right.
But, like, that whole sequence is pretty big.
Yeah, but the sequence is not about him. It's about the Fury and Rage. He's not involved in that part. He just gets killed in a standard fight afterwards. But, that, I mean, I don't know. Maybe that's just me. And then, you know, as you play through the game, now I found out there's one level in this game that I actually really did enjoy. I mean, I enjoyed a lot of it, but this level stood out to me since it's so different from the rest of the game. And I found out that it was a special edition feature. Is the level where you actually hijack one of the armored suits.
Oh yeah, I heard that's not PC exclusive. That's in the re-release.
It's in it's re-release, and it was originally PC. It wasn't in the original Xbox release.
Oh, okay, because I didn't get there yet.
It's exactly what you'd expect it to be. It has the same sort of feel that you, like Gears of War, the original one, had the Brumach fight that was only on PC, and it's sort of that same sort of like it's fun, it's tacked on, it's not important to the story, it's just there to be a fun element of the game, and it's pretty fun.
Honestly, I'm looking back over Vin Diesel's film career here, and really, there are some misses, but they're not that bad. Like, The Pacifier is pretty bad. A Man Apart was not great. Knock Around Guys.
Did I just see another Triple X movie in his upcoming?
Oh, I'm sorry. You're talking about Triple X, The Return of Xander Cage, announced? Release date? ? It could literally come out in the year 9999.
Yeah, that's true.
But Fast and Furious 7 is... We already talked about this, right? Fast and Furious is going annual.
Yeah, it's like a Saw movie.
Oh, no, it's not like a Saw movie because it's awesome. Riddick is this... Oh, God. I'm so glad he's back on the fucking... on the main stage.
Yeah, I'm glad that he's finding success in his endeavors.
Dude, you don't even know, man. You don't even know about the next Fast and Furious.
You don't even know.
Statham.
You think... Yeah?
No, he's fucking in it.
Yeah, I believe it.
Jason Statham is in it. He's the villain.
Makes sense.
Does it? You haven't seen any of them.
No, it just feels right.
Dude, can you
At what point is Vin Diesel going to be in one of the Expendable movies, do you think?
Never.
You don't think so?
I will never see another one of those. I fucking will not watch a movie with Chuck Norris in it.
I didn't see the second one.
Me neither. I'm not going to watch something with Chuck Norris in it. I might pirate it. Real talk.
Anyway, so the game itself, the middle part is difficult, and there were some failings. I find that with the character Riddick in the game, like he's openly willing to murder whoever stands in his way, but like it seems a little inconsistent. Like, and there's some characters that you can't kill because you need them for the storyline, but like I don't understand why he wouldn't kill them at points. Do you know what I mean?
It's a video game. Yeah.
But Riddick's, I guess the Riddick character, part of the character really is the inconsistency.
Yeah.
Like, he's very, very quick to kill someone, but he's okay with not doing it for arbitrary reasons, if that sort of makes sense. Like, there's still the undertone of, like, I won't kill you as long as you can help me.
Well, I think by the upcoming movie, I think he's very much on this, like, he doesn't... Like, he is pretty honorable at this point.
Yeah. And then the...
Sorry. You didn't find, like, the death of Jack/Kira, like, to be just, like...
As much as you would think.
Dude.
As much as the death of the pilot from Pitch Black. No way.
Yeah. I mean, but as establishing a trend of like...
James Bondian, like, well, women dying.
Yeah. Oh,
man. So...
On Her Majesty's Secret Service.
So here's the last bit, and this might be a little bit of a spoiler for you, but like as you play through the game, it does get a little Pitch Blacky near the middle.
Oh, so there's monsters.
There's Xeno. They call him Xeno in the game.
Xenomorphs?
They're not as well designed as the monsters in Pitch Black were.
When was the last time you saw Pitch Black?
Like a year ago.
Okay, I think because of the limited use of the monsters, like, the bad CG of them is less pronounced.
They have a good design.
Did you watch it in HD?
Yeah.
Okay.
But they have a good design to them. The execution wasn't great, but they were more of just a presence in the background than they were an on-screen thing. In this game, the monsters are there. They're kind of a little bit generic, but... It's good to get back to that core, like, there's monsters in this universe thing. Like, I would be upset if they didn't do that.
Yeah. Duh, there are monsters in the universe. Come on, let's get real, man.
Cool. So, that's...
There's gotta be, like, aliens, too, right? Like, well, I mean, they're all aliens.
They're all,
like,
aliens, right? Well, yeah.
Actually, Riddick's an alien.
Riddick is... Well, we don't know. There's a lot we don't know about this.
He's
like
a fucking Furian,
but
man.
But how do we know they're not descendants of Earth? Or what? Like, we don't know that all these people aren't...
Real talk, we should probably read the Chronicles of Riddick fucking novelization that has about like 70. You know, even the director's cut has like apparently like 60 or 70 minutes worth of 60 or 70 minutes
just,
of
like
stuff
establishing
was
universe
not
stuff.
Was not like included or even shot because like they couldn't make a fucking 6-hour movie.
Right.
We should probably read the novelization.
We might have to go down that path. Anyway, so next week we are going to finish the game, the last section of the prison and the finale. And hopefully we'll have a little bit more constructive stuff to say.
Who knows?
Who knows? Who knows? Maybe it'll turn into a twist ending. Who knows? They'll have Night Shyamalan.
For the second to last time, I'm bringing us back. It's the outro. We don't really have much community this time, so I guess it's just time to
reflect.
I'll go ahead and put this out there. If you share the post of this show on Facebook, we'll send you something.
We have stuff to get rid of.
Up to 8 things. We have like 2 copies. We have 2 download codes for the original Gears on Xbox. We have a box copy of Gears 3. I've got a used copy of Terminator Salvation for Xbox 360 that I never sent back to Gamefly. I got some other video game, decent video game stuff lying around here.
And boy howdy, do we have stickers to give you people.
Yeah, so like we'll say up to 8 times. If 8 people share this post, the first 8 people to share this post on Facebook with their friend group, we'll get sent something. We'll hit you up for your address. Was that a little too desperate?
Doesn't matter. You're leaving.
I mean, we got a couple of. I got. You might get a Sega Genesis game. Real talk.
So
let us know if you have a Sega Genesis,
or if you have a desperate need for stickers. Because once again, we have those.
Yeah. Hey, how interested are you in Jet Set Radio pins? Because I got some of those.
We also have that. We have so much stuff. I still have Cards Against Humanity packs.
Okay. Anyway, so outro. Oh God, does it sound desperate at this point? Like asking people to follow us on Twitter.
No.
Okay. Well, you can follow the show at Fantastic Hood.
You can find John at Hey John Anderson,
and you can find Fred at Proto Addict. It almost sounds like we fucking rehearsed that.
I know. It was really good.
Check this out this week. Check out our YouTube page. What are we? The Fantastic Hood?
The Fantastic Hood.
On YouTube. We have a... If you're into Game of Thrones, I know last week was rough, but we found some footage that makes that ending a little happier. All right?
And if you
Hashtag Red Wedding.
And if you really want to pick me up, callofdoggies.com.
Callofdoggies.com. Check it out.
Still putting content there. And, of course, you can always find us on Facebook at facebook.com/fantasticneighborhood.
Or you can find us at facebook.com/john.w.anderson.
What's the W stand for? I never knew that.
William.
Really?
Yeah.
Johnny Willie Anderson.
You know, fun story. One summer I worked on a ranch in eastern Oregon, and they already had a John. So I was J-Dub.
Of course they did. That's where people went to the bathroom.
I was J-Dub. J-Dub, worst summer of my life. Just kidding. I worked at McDonald's.
Oi. Anyway, so, and you can find the show, of course, at www.fantasticneighborhood.com. You hate when I do that, and I know you do.
All right. What? Stitch. Stitcher.
Tumblers.
Hey, this Monday, follow Fred on Facebook and follow... Whatever. Just look for... Fred's going to be on the Perpetual Geek Machine live stream.
What the hell do you do... What do you do on Google Plus? In enshrine me on...
On a Google Hangout? You fucking talk.
No, but I mean, like, what's the terminology for, like... Like, plus friend me.
Plus one.
Is it plus one?
Yeah, plus one.
Plus friend me on Google Plus.
Well, then you would add somebody. Plus one and you're liking somebody.
I hate the
God,
world we live in.
God, you're so drunk. You didn't even finish your second.
I'm working on it. Did I win an argument if everyone else on the thread stops arguing?
No, that's not how it works.
I think that's how it works.
Did you go the nuclear option?
What, Hitler? Recording.
Lol.
So we're back with the outro. Guys, it's been real, but we gotta go. But before we go, we like to see if the community left us any messages. John, did the community leave us any messages?
We should redo this so we don't sound like losers.
No, that's true. Oh, we're recording. I don't know how to ever enter the intro segment of the show.
Better learn quick, man. I'm almost gone.
We're almost done. So welcome to the intro. It's at this point in the show we like
to... The intro? Are you serious right now?
Wow, I'm really fucking done. Let's start that over one more time.